14th, 2004, I'm at the Ontario Lacrosse Hall of Fame with Ron Winterbottom, and we're going to do an interview about his career in lacrosse. You want to sit down, Ron?
Certainly, Larry.
So when did you first get involved with lacrosse? What age?
When I first got involved with lacrosse, I was probably about 13 years old, and behind the place where I lived, they were building a lacrosse school in the town of Port Dalhousie. That was on the old Canadian Canners factory property. And my dad had arranged with Canadian Canners that they would lease that property to an organization that was starting in Port Dalhousie called the Port Dalhousie Athletic Association. I had seen lacrosse played a few times at the Hay Bowl when my dad took me there, but I never had a stick in my hand or owned a stick at that time. But we were out there fooling around when the guys were building the bowl before they got finished putting the boards up, and a few of the young fellows there of my age had sticks, so I started fooling around with them. That was way back in 1945.
So now, 45, would they have had a junior league in Ontario, or is that?
Yes, they did have, but not to the extent that it is now. Back in 45, of course, that was in the heyday of the senior teams when the St. Catharines were winning their Man Cups in the period from 1938 to 46. They won four or five Man Cups during that time, so lacrosse was a big thing in St. Catharines at that time.
Would, like Port, I know that St. Catharines at one time had their own Junior A League. Would, like Port Dalhousie be?
Yes, no, this would be after that time when they had the Junior A League. That Junior A League was all defunct then. There was minor league lacrosse then, and there was a junior team in the OLA, but that was the only team then. There was no junior league in St. Catharines at that time. I think it was finished about that time. To my recollection, I don't remember. But you're talking about the time when they had the Junior A League, and they had seven or eight teams, the Shamrocks and the Tecumsehs and all of those different teams. Yes. I remember reading about that. And I don't remember.
That's before your time. Mm-hmm. I guess you played minor lacrosse up in.
I played minor lacrosse 1 year in Port Dalhousie after we got that new bowl built in 1946. I played bantam lacrosse there. And at that time, St. Catharines had quite a few minor lacrosse teams compared to, of course, the town of Port Dalhousie, but we were in the same league. And the town of Merritt was another team in the league. So when it came to be the Ontario Minor Lacrosse Playoffs, the management put in a combined team between Port Dalhousie and Merritt to win to the Ontario Playdowns. Of course, we got beat out before we even left St. Catharines because there were so many teams up there. But subsequent to that, I never played any more lacrosse in Port Dalhousie after that. The following year, I went to St. Catharines and played midget lacrosse. I was only, I was only 14, going on 15 years old when I went into the midget, and I still had a year of bantam left. And we won the Ontario Championship that year. We played the preliminary game to one of the Man Cup games in the Maple Leaf Gardens, and that's where we won
46?
The championship. 1946, I believe it was the Salmon Bellies and probably the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
No, 46 was St. Catharines.
Was it St. Catharines? Okay, it was another time I saw the Salmon Bellies play there. Anyway, we went over there and we played the preliminary game and we won the championship. That particular year, St. Catharines won a Pee-wee. A Pee-wee championship, a Bantam championship, a Midget championship, all in preliminary games to the Man Cup playoffs in Paris. So they won three championships here in Montreal, Nebraska.
Now there was something though, when I was walking around the Hall of Fame. Now I can't remember where I saw it. Doug Travell played on a lot of teams in 1 year.
That was Doug Travell Sr. And that was, of course, way before my time. When I was talking about what we're talking about now, Doug Travell was playing goal in the senior leagues, and he was a goaltender at one time, I believe, for several teams before he became the goaltender for St. Catharines. But there was 1 year there when Doug won five championships in 1 year because as you win one championship in whatever category, Bantam will say, for instance, why they would pick them up and you played for the next, and they won the midget, they won the juvenile, and I think they won a junior, and I don't know if that year he was picked up with the senior club or not. I think he was on five championship teams in that one year, at Favell Senior, I guess. I remember him playing goal, and along with Bill Whitaker playing goal.
So, okay, now, did you play any junior A?
Yes, I
is it OLA? Like,
yes, I worked out with the junior A team in, let's see, the 1950. I worked out with the junior A team, but I wasn't 17 years old yet, and they had a real good lacrosse team. Doug Cole was the coach, and because I had played well on that midget team the year before, and we won the championship, he asked me to come up. And I would go through all the workouts and several exhibition games. But because of the strength of that team, although Doug wanted me to go on that team, I felt that then I was advised that I would probably be sitting on the bench, and I stayed back and played juvenile that year. And then, of course, the next year, in 1951, I believe that was the year that the St. Catharines Club moved to Niagara Falls. If I guess it would be Niagara Falls, and it was junior called the Niagara Falls Cataracts. And I played junior there on that team with Johnny Dewar and Barry Davies, Johnny Moore, and some of them were played on the 1950 team, and some of them were there. Then I played in 1952 and 1953 junior. 1952. We got beat out by Brampton in the Ontario Finals, and Brampton went on to win the Mental Cup that year. They went up west and won the Mental Cup.
That would have been Jack Bionda.
Jack Bionda, Civil Crusoe's. I can't remember all the names. I still see some of them when I go to the Brampton Old Timers Dinner. But that was the team that won that year. They beat us out. I think there were three out of five series that we played, and we beat out Peterborough, and we went to play Brampton. It was quite a good series, very close series, if I recall. Rough series, a very rough series.
And 54, you went up and you played some senior?
I went out with the senior club in 54. 53, I played junior again. And 54 was my first year of senior, 18 years old. You could no longer play junior in those days, and I ended up as senior. And I was working out with the senior club all spring, and took a bout of pneumonia and a very severe case of pleurisy, and I was laid up for several months, and then I was advised, to take it easy that year, so I didn't play. I was married in 1953. 1956, 55 I didn't play, because 54 I didn't play. I didn't play in 55. I went out in the winter of 55 and played hockey in the Lincoln League. I was doing my strength back, so 56, I believe, might have been the year that I played senior lacrosse. I went out with the senior club, and I believe Tank Tettle was our coach that year. And I think Jimmy McNulty, Joe McNulty, and Nick O'Hearn was on that team. I remember Donnie Moore was on that team. A lot of fellows that we called it on that team. And that was the year, of course, nobody, at least I wasn't in very good physical condition, and we weren't having regular workouts. Everybody was working hard to get in shape, and I ended up dislocating the shoulder in early May, and I was off of work, and I was playing for several weeks, and then when my shoulder got better, I went back out to play the rest of the season, but hung up the stick after that with the responsibilities of job and family, possibility of getting injured. That was my career in senior lacrosse. Probably, circumstances wouldn't have been different, I probably would have played a lot longer. But I had to give it up, and for many years after that, in summertime, I wouldn't even read the paper because the desire was to go try out for the team again. So yeah. I just didn't follow it at all for a couple of years.
Then you got involved in it after that?
After that, a fellow by the name of Dougie Blackwood came to me one day and said they needed a coach for a kids' team. At that time, they didn't have children, boys playing lacrosse at the age limit they did now. I think what they call peewee now was the age when they started, which was that age then would have been from 12 to 14. Mm-hmm. And a few of them, of course, would start a little younger, maybe up to 10 or 11. There was a league formed in the town of Port Dalhousie. The old lacrosse bowl was still there. It, I mentioned it was built in 1945, and we started in there. And we had a league right in the town of Port Dalhousie with kids 6 and 7 years old, before they had Adam Lacrosse or any of that, before the entire Adam Lacrosse Association. We had a nice little league down there. And then I coached them quite a bit, and then eventually they got a category for that league, and we ended up, Doug and I coached a team, and at the end of the year we would combine a team out of Port Dalhousie, as we were allowed to enter one team into the tournament that they had. And I recall one year the tournament was in St. Catharines Arena, and they had sent 20 certificates to us to sign to go into this thing, and Doug and I sat down with the kids we had in Port Dalhousie that were playing in our league down there, and we picked what we thought would be a fairly good team, but we knew we wouldn't compete with the likes of Brampton and some of these other bigger centers in Toronto and that rim with, but we entered one team. And the first game we played, the kids played a very good game, and we played all our 20 players. We had them all dressed on the bench, and we had 20 players on the list. Referees signed it, everybody signed it, the kids played. And then we watched Brampton play, we watched a couple other teams play, and if you look at that Brampton team, my goodness, those kids were really, for that age group, were really a sharp team in those days, the kids that age. We figured they would win the championship. Who did we end up playing in our next round? Was Brampton. So we thought, well, we'll do the same thing as we did the last game. While the kids are here, they're all going to get a chance to play. We had our lines, and Doug and I decided we would play them line for line, no matter what the score was or what happened, we'd play them, give all the kids a chance to play. Subsequently, just as the game was starting, Gary Moore, a very good friend of mine, and I played with his brother for years, came over and he says, Ron, he says, you've got too many players on the sheet here. He said, you're on the game sheet. He says, you're only allowed to have 16 players. What do you mean 16 players? That's not allowed to have. So, what the heck? I said, we played the last game like that, nobody said anything. He said, well, Brampton are protesting, and he said, well, you know, you're going to have to take players off. I believe it was Mr. McDermott was the head of the OMLE at that time, and he was at the tournament naturally, so he came over to my bench and asked what the problem was, and I told him. He says, well, Ron, I understand what you're saying, but he said, Brampton's going to protest, and he says, those are the rules. I believe his first name was Ed, but I always called him Mr. McDermott. So I said, okay, Mr. McDermott, give us a few minutes. So I took all the kids in the dressing room, and we took five sweaters off of five kids. And I said to Doug, you stay in the dressing room. I said, when I send you five kids, you put these same sweaters back on those five kids. So Doug said, okay. So we crossed five names off the score sheet, and everybody signed it, and the game started. And as soon as five kids would come off the floor, we had no first line, second line. We wanted the kids to play. I just sent them right through the alleyway to the dressing room. Doug took the sweaters off and put them on the other five kids, and they came out and went down the end of the bench. And that's the way we played against Brampton, and of course they won, and I believe they did go on to win the tournament. But all our kids got to play. That's the way it should be played. The kids all had a chance to play. From there on, I moved up into keeping the sport and that. I played a little more Lincoln League hockey myself, and I played a little more lacrosse. Then the Port Dalhousie Legion, Branch 350 Port Dalhousie Legion, decided that they were going to form a sports committee, and they were going to start sponsoring some minor sports. And I was very active in the Port Dalhousie Legion, although I was not a veteran, but I was in there what they used to call social members or whatever at that time. I used to help them raising money with their stags and stuff like that, whatever. Of course, by this time I was old enough to go to Legion. I was 21 years old, a little older than that, and I was allowed in the Legion, so I was very active there. So I went to the meeting because I was interested in sport, and I was invited to the meeting. Of course, I ended up being the first ever chairman of the Branch 350 Legion Sports Committee. So they decided that they would sponsor a midget lacrosse team because Port Dalhousie and Lions at that time only sponsored up as far as Bantam, and then they had to go to St. Catharines or somewhere else as they get older to play the lacrosse. So we formed a midget team. We also sponsored soccer and baseball out of that committee from the region. So I became the coach of the midget team, and we won the Ontario Championship that year. And then, of course, I went on and coached the juvenile for a couple of years. And then when the Mr. Conradi and Peter Conradi, who were running the junior A team here in St. Catharines for many, many years. As Fred Conradi was senior, was very involved in lacrosse and was the manager of the lacrosse teams that I played on when I played in St. Catharines and played midget and juvenile and junior. And I played with his son Peter. Matter of fact, I just met Peter on the way up here in the restaurant having lunch. I haven't seen Peter in many years, so that's why he's a little late getting here, is talking to Peter. So anyway, they decided to fold the junior A team. So I went and met with them and asked them if they were really serious about it. And they said they were. They were no longer going to have anything to do with it because we didn't want to have any hard feelings. So it was in 1967 we started the junior A team in Port Dalhousie, which was then called the Port Dalhousie Lakesides. They went on from then on. I coached there for 3 years and raised money and was on the executive for 3 years. And from then on, I think it was in 1969, and the OLA, in their wisdom, forced us out of the outside lacrosse bowl and forced us to go play in the arena in the middle of the playoffs, which then we had to move up and play out of St. Catharines in the Garden City Arena, which we were no longer a Port Dalhousie team. And we arranged to be called the St. Catharines Legionnaires, and we had the three branches of the Legionnaires chipping in to help sponsor us and change the sweater colors and all of that. You're going to ask me something, Larry.
Yeah, the years when you were in Port Dalhousie Junior A, I like on my stats, I have St. Catharines.
It wasn't Port Dalhousie, it was St. Catharines. Okay. Junior A was St. Catharines. Yeah. There was no junior. The only time there was a Junior A team in Port Dalhousie, to my knowledge, unless something happened long before I can remember, and maybe did so back in the old days when they had those Junior A leagues in St. Catharines area. Port Dalhousie, we had the first junior A team, which was the one I coached in 1967, the centennial year. And again, that was the year we rebuilt the Port Dalhousie Bowl. We tore the old Port Dalhousie Bowl and we had a nice new lacrosse bowl built down there, all new lights and everything else for that junior A team. Which subsequently, when they forced the junior A team inside, that bowl was eventually torn down.
But in 67, they were out of Port Dalhousie.
Yes.
And so they weren't St. Catharines?
No.
So my records are wrong.
It was Port Dalhousie Lakesides.
Okay, I have to change that.
And then it became the, right at play in the playoffs of 1969 was when they forced us inside, right during the middle of the playoffs. And we were forced to go and play in the Garden City Arena, which was a disaster for our organization. We revamped our organization after that and carried on playing in the Garden City Arena for, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years, and I was president of the St. Catharines Lacrosse, St. Catharines Junior Lacrosse Association at that time, which we were the ones that ran the Junior A team. So we carried on with that Junior A team. And I'm just trying to remember, Larry, when that was folded. Matter of fact, I was just looking at something there the other day, but it was in the 70s, anyway, the late 70s, that the Junior A organization, which I was president of the time, I resigned as president of it, and we played a few more years after that under the same organization, same group of fellows, and then they decided to fold the organization, the Catholic Junior A Cross Association, in 1967, is what it was called. Folded at that time, and there was several years there where there was no Junior A lacrosse in St. Catharines until they picked it up again and called it the St. Catharines Athletic.
Okay, so it was Port
Dalhousie Lakesides.
Lakesides, and just for the 1 year.
No, it was 67, 68, and
69. Well, 68 was a male strike. Can't tell that's why.
And then 1970, when the season started, we moved into the St. Catharines Arena permanently. We played our playoff games.
So the name actually changed?
The name changed. The organization stayed the same, but the still was the St. Catharines Junior A Lacrosse. 67 was the name of our organization. 67 was because that was the year we started.
Okay, I've got to change those three on my record
then,
book.
Then it was the Legionnaires.
It's Legionnaires in the 70s.
Legionnaires in the 70s. to look further than I can't just recall. I ran for, let's see, Jerry Moore coached for at least a year or two. You've got all those records, okay. I took over the junior A team as coach 1 year. It was a bit of a problem. Just before the playoffs started, the gentleman that was coaching broke his leg, and he turned it over to his younger brother, who was Jimmy McGraw, who's a great lacrosse player.
Was that McGrath? Like
McGrath,
the way,
yes,
I would
the way you expect.
I remember he had a lot of goals.
Yes, he was a great lacrosse player, Jimmy. But Jimmy was up there one night working out, and I got a call from the manager asking me if I could come up to Garden City Arena. I was still president. They were having a problem up there, so on my way up, I passed Jimmy's car going down. And when I get up there, the kids were a little bit unruly, and Jimmy decided he wasn't going to coach them, and there was no coach. So I talked to the manager there, and I got all the kids in the dressing room and got them settled down. We took them out on the floor to start the practice. As soon as they get out on the floor to start the practice, I told them, practice is over. I said, I'm taking over as coach. Mr. Schenck and Mr. Gary Mayer are going to take over as co-managers, and we're going to go through the playoffs. We're going to compete during the playoffs. And I told them, I said, the practice will start here at 7 o'clock. I may not be here at 7 o'clock, but if you're not here, there's going to be a problem. I want you on the floor, and I want you going through your drills when I get here. Well, I was there before 7 o'clock, but I was hiding up in the arena just to see what was going to happen. And to my surprise, the players even took time off work, and they were all there, and they were all out there dressed, and they were behaving themselves, and they were working around, and having the time. So then I went down, and I talked to them, and I told them what the situation was, and I told them we had to go into the play Peterborough. And I said, Peterborough have beaten you by over 30 goals and 25 goals every time you played them this year. And I said, I know you're upset, you think it's a farce, but I said, we got two choices here. Either you're going to play, and you're going to go out and play and do your best, or if you don't want to do that and play for me and do your best, then I will talk to the ORLA and I'll make arrangements to bring the juvenile team up and go to Peterborough with the juvenile team, and we'll at least put on a show. So I said, it's up to you fellas. You want to play with us, that's fine. So they all agreed. So I said, okay. And I said, everybody go sit on the bench over there. And I went to Gary May and John. I said, I want to see one player at a time. If every player one at a time down the one end of the rink, and I had about a 5 minute talk with them, telling them to go sit on the bench. When I was done with them all, I said, okay, practice is over. I said, now same thing tomorrow night. And we had about 4 nights before we met Peterborough, the time was started. And so they came out the next night, and we did nothing but practice three different zones for zone defense. I had watched Peterborough play, and remember, this is the time before they played O, D, and D, and O, and all this kind of stuff. Everybody did their chore out there. And so we taught them there in about 3 nights different zone defenses, and I told them, I said, when I send you out on the floor, I'm going to tell you what you're going to play. So we went to Peterborough, and we went out, and the first thing we did, we set up one zone. Kind of confused Peterborough, but because they had all these set plays and fast plays, breaking plays and running plays, and they weren't working for them because we were already back there with our zone set up by the time they got there. Anyway, the coach took a few minutes to figure that out, and I knew he was going to figure that out, so the next time we went out, we played man-to-man. And then the next time we went out, we played a different zone, and this is what we did. Peterborough had a fantastic power play. They had fellas like Johnson to control the ball over the shoulder and different ones out there in the air in those days. Just a fantastic team. I had one goaltender, Danny DeGraw, who was a little big in the shoulders, and I had Jimmy Hopgood. Jimmy Hopgood was a hell of a goaltender, and he was very quick and good with his stick. So I had started Jimmy Hopgood in goal. The first penalty we got, I sent Danny DeGraw out. And play came around, bang, 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 over the guy who was supposed to shoot into the top corner, but there was no top corner because Danny was a little taller, and that was the play, and they weren't expecting it. And anyway, at the end of the first period, it was 2-1. And we went through that game up there, and I think we beat us by 2 goals. And down to St. Catharines, I think we went into overtime, and they beat us, and they finally beat us out, but I don't think we got beat by any more than 2 or 3 goals for the 4 games we played against them. kids were thrilled about it and felt better about themselves. But that was my last stint of coaching. The next year we got new coach and new manager for the team and carried on for a few more years. And as I say, then it folded and the new group were taken over and they've done a wonderful job. They won Minnow Cups in 90, I believe, in 91. I think we've won about five altogether now since that time.
That's what, five, yeah.
So they've done very well. And I follow them, and I'm on the executive of the old boys. I have been for some 30-some years, but I was president for a few years.
Yeah, how many guys you got members of the old boys?
We have approximately about 300 on our list. We've got a lot of younger people hopefully coming along. We try to encourage some of the junior players as they retire, you know, if you're really old, you know, come out to the dinners and that, and some of them are starting to come out.
I went to the one banquet, and I had a great time.
My little son, he's on the executive of the old boys now, and a lot of guys his age, we have three of Joe McNulty's boys on the executive now, and Teddy Howell has a son on there, and Justin Howell, who played goalie when I played for our teams, his son is on there. So we got quite a group of younger fellows on there that are probably in their 50s, low 40s to 50s.
Well, I'm thinking of you as a younger guy because I've been trying to hit up all these old guys over 80.
No, I'm just a little over 71. I'm one of the young guys on the old boys when it comes to the museum. I'm afraid to come up here. I figure maybe they might keep me here as a relic.
See, that's what I've got. Uh-huh. And as far as guys alive that are still living the old there.
Yes.
And I'm trying to interview everybody.
Yes.
On you. So, I got Jim McMahon. I've got Pat Smith now. I've got Judy Punch-Carlo. And J.J. Hill, I got him.
Yeah.
And a few of these.
You got Ken Croft yet?
Nope. I got to get him. I thought I might get him today, but I didn't realize.
Ken's in Florida, yeah.
I got Nip O'Hearn on there. And I'm trying to get all the older guys, because this guy here, he just joined the Bobby Granger.
Yes.
He's really helped me a lot.
Yeah.
He's going to take me up to meet
Gord
Gehr.
Gord Gehr was a nice gentleman. Gord Gehr was involved with the Mimico organization when I was coaching Junior A, when we used to go to the Mimico. And when I am talking about 1967, Port Dalhousie and Mimico were the only two outside lacrosse bowls that were left that were in the Junior A loop.
I never have seen a game outdoor bowl. I didn't start following lacrosse until 63 when the Gales started up in Oshawa.
Yeah.
I wish I was 10 years older in some ways. See, this is what I'm doing. I dig up years. I'll go through the Peterborough paper, the Hamilton paper, and I'm missing some stuff.
Well, you look under Lake, see if there's anything on Lakesides for that Junior A thing. I don't know.
Well, it's hard to get Junior A stats.
But that's where I had coached was for the Lakesides. Hello, Mullis.
It's the second one. Yeah.
Okay.
So, what else do you want me to tell you? I guess I've been involved in either coaching, playing, or management. And
you might be able to help me in something I'm being interested in. Was St. Catharines needs an arena. What do you know about this?
Well, St. Catharines needs an arena, and they're building that fourplex, and I'm glad to see they're finally building up a fourplex, but St. Catharines are still a way behind times when it comes to this type of sports facility for a city its size. But they seem to have a problem in this city, no matter what they want to do anymore, people in the city don't seem to want to get together and want the same thing. I was involved when they built the Burgoyne Arena, mind you. There's another story I could tell you. I don't know how long your tape is, but this is an interesting story. I've been involved in building two lacrosse bowls in Port Dalhousie, one when I was just about 14 years old, and the only involvement I had at that time was fooling around with the guys where I found out what lacrosse was all about. And then, of course, subsequently played some minor in that bowl and coached in that bowl. Then when in 67, we built the new lacrosse bowl in Port Dalhousie when we brought the junior team down there. Then, I guess it was probably in the late 70s, early 80s, somebody had checked the records for me, my memory's not as well as it used to be, but we in Port Dalhousie decided that we should build an arena in Port Dalhousie. We should have an arena in Port Dalhousie. And we were going to build it on a voluntary basis and turn it over to the city. We had no intention of getting the city involved except for, getting permits and stuff like that.
So we were talking about this for several years, and we were going to try and build that right near the swimming pool in Port Dalhousie, which was adjacent to where the old lacrosse bowl was. So we decided we better form a committee, because we were just a few guys that were sitting around talking about this, and we wanted to do it, and we had the ideas. So we called a meeting at the Port Dalhousie Legion. Well, the Port Dalhousie Legion back hall was full. I never expect a turnout even. It was full. But the problem was everybody decided they wanted that arena in their backyard. They didn't want it in Port Dalhousie. They came from every part of St. Catharines to that meeting, and everybody had an idea where the arena should go. So that kind of put us off base a little bit, because we had started out as a Port Dalhousie group. Even though we weren't Port Dalhousie anymore, we were still called St. Catharines, because of the amalgamation in the 60s. They amalgamated here in the 60s with the city of St. Catharines as well as American Day. However, for sports and that, we were still Port Dalhousie. But anyway, they decided to elect a committee, and different people were nominated. Well, I was nominated as the president, or whatever they called it, head of the thing, and I wasn't really too enamored about that. They had two or three other guys doing it, and I didn't have the time to do it because I was still working in that, so I declined that nomination with thanks. And we got a president on and went on. I think I was nominated three or four times. And finally, they wanted me to get on as a director, and I took a look at the around, and I says, well, you know, you got so many guys that were on the original committee here now from Port Dalhousie, and I don't want this to be a one-sided thing. If you know, there's enough people interested, they don't get some people from the rest of the other parts of St. Catharines on. So officially, I was never on the executive, although I worked with the executive, and I worked on the arena, and I helped them run auctions, and they sold tickets and did whatever when they built the Groin Arena. So I was somewhat involved in the building of the Bill Burgoyne Arena in an unofficial capacity, but worked on it. We subsequently got that building up, and then when it was up, it was turned over to the city of St. Catharines. And, I guess you might say I was involved in building the original bowl as a 14-year-old kid.
So this fourplex that they're going to build.
It's on its way now. It's got the roof on, and they're working out there now. It's supposed to be, well, they're having some delays now. They're ready to put seats in. And
how many seats?
I think about 1,500. But they're having a problem with the engineering, or with something happened. The seats don't fit where they're supposed to fit, and the steps don't fit. So they're having a few problems there, so I don't expect it. They might get lucky and get ice in for this fall or this winter. I don't know if they will.
Have you been out to Six Nations to see the new arena?
I haven't been there yet, no. I've talked to Tom about it. I've seen several new arenas around, as I say, up in the Waterloo area, Kitchener area, over in the Cooksville. I still call it Cooksville over there. They've got all new names for these places now. And I've seen these different arenas when I've traveled with the kids. And they're tremendous arenas. And some of them got swimming pools with them, and they got meeting rooms and... you know, the one that impressed me was the one in Waterloo when the Minute Cup was on up there the year before last, where they have the track running around the outside, but upstairs, and people can do a walking track. It's just a tremendous facility. We're into a situation here, I guess they figured they're going to build a fourplex and make more ice time, and probably eventually we will lose the Garden City and the Bill Burgoyne and the Rex Steiner's arena. Well, it's not the Garden City anymore, pardon me, it's the Jack Gatecliff arena, it was renamed. But originally was the Garden City, because these arenas are getting pretty old and they're very difficult to maintain, and they can get new facilities. Depending on, once anything costs this city money anymore, if it's under the Parks and Recs, Park and Recreation's jurisdiction, and they have a budget, they don't stay within their budget. Why, city council wants to cut something. Everybody wants to cut everything now, and everybody's got to work within their budget and cut the service off so they can stay within their budget, no matter, you know, what happens. The same is happening with waterworks and sewers and roads and everything else. So there seems to be no money for infrastructure anymore, and they just have a hard time even maintaining what they have. So I would assume that eventually we will see it, maybe not in my lifetime, but I hope not, but eventually we'll see these other things disappear, and you'll have your fourplex there, which... it's okay, it's providing ice time, but it sure is not the type of facility that you would see for a
Memorial Cup team, or
no, or any like 1,500 people is no good if you have a Minute Cup.
Yeah.
Or you just couldn't put that much people in for a Minute Cup. Or, you know, if there was ever a senior team that went to the Minute Cup, because Bill LaFave's team that was in the playoffs in that the last couple of years, you just wouldn't be able to put the fans in there.
Interesting thing, my oldest boy lives down in the town called Birds Rapids, which is between Maryville and Kentville outside of Ottawa, southwest of Ottawa. That little town, when he first went down to Birds Rapids in Kentville area, was just like a whistle stop down there, mostly farmland and whatever. That's probably 16 years, 17 years ago, and I was down there last year, and they built, 2 or 3 years ago, they built a brand new high school there, and they're building another brand new high school. The plans are ready to build another brand new high school. There are a few shopping plazas around there now. The housing is going up around there, like it makes some cabins look sick as far as housing is concerned in this little area down there. And they're now going to be opening up a new arena. When I was down there in October, they're just about ready to start equipment, ready to open it up. But interesting, along with this new arena, it's just one arena, it's not a four-pack, but when you stop and think of the size of the area there, they have a little arena in Kentville now, which is really old. It's one of the old-type arenas they built in the North Country with the tin walls and the dome roof and that, but it's a very, very nice little arena, good arena. Still get lots of good ice in there, and the kids. But this new one is being built right on the same property area as the high school was built. So it's right next door to the high school. And in with this arena, there is a theater. Because in that part of the world up there, there's a lot of, there's always plays going on in the churches and, you know, different halls, which they don't have too many very large halls and everything for this kind of stuff. They don't have the facilities for all the lighting and the audio stuff that they need nowadays for these type of things, so they're going to put a modern theater right in the arena. So this building will have, alongside the high school with its gymnasium and its football field and whatever, they will now have an arena, and they'll now have a place for theatrics and shows and whatever, all in the one complex there. In a little town like that, we've been years and years trying to get an arena built, and what we're getting is a fourplex arena, which has 1,500 seats in it. I don't complain about it. I'm glad that the safe for kids and having a place to skate and play hockey and figure skaters and, you know, everybody that will be using this arena. I would hope that they put some indoor soccer into it and stuff like this. And it's interesting the way the city works. One year they applied to play lacrosse in the Garden City Arena, and they said they didn't want them in there, you know, because they might break the legs. Well, eventually they started playing lacrosse in there. Then some outfit went in there and they wanted to put indoor soccer in there, and they didn't want the indoor soccer in there because they were afraid of the damage that might be done to them, and yet they were allowing lacrosse in. So I don't know what the thinking behind all of this stuff is and stuff like that, but as far as I'm concerned, you know, no matter. We've been 10 years now trying to, in this Niagara district, trying to build a new hospital, and they still haven't dug a hole in the ground. They're still talking about it between the government, and we still have one council in Niagara Falls vote 8-1 against it. Again, so you know, it's just hard for anybody, any council. I don't know if you blame the councils, or you blame them. I basically blame all the people in this area. Everything that they go to do in this area, there's some group that gets up and they go against it. It doesn't matter what it is, if it's, you know, they just seem to be a group going against it.
I'm glad you got the Hall of Fame.
Well, that was a tough thing too. It was originally turned down by the city council. When Bill LaFay and the group presented to the city council, the first council meeting was turned down flat. And I was the vice president of the Ontario Lacrosse Association, or not the Ontario, but the St. Catharines Old Boys at that time, and I thought that was a shame of all the history between St. Catharines. Our president was down in Florida. I phoned him, and I phoned a few people and executives. I'm going to write a letter to City Hall telling them what I think about it on behalf of the Old Boys, and tell them that we support this. Well, we don't have any money, we can't support it financially, but if there's any way we can help to see it get built or do anything to volunteer in that area, we think it should be here. And several other people wrote letters the next time they had a council meeting, and two people got to talk about it. Finally, just barely passed through the law to win. And the more it's here now, and they had a tough time getting it started here with an agreement with the city that we do have. It's been a touch and go situation for a while, but cooperation seems to be a little bit better than it's coming along that way.
Because I've been to both. I had the one out in New Westminster, and this is 10 times because of...
When I went out to New Westminster, I couldn't even get in. It was locked up, and nobody could tell me who I had to see to go in and visit it. Anyway, Larry, I don't know what else. I've been doing a lot of talking about a lot of things except my playing days, and as they say, they were lovely, but I retired from it early with the circumstances I explained to you about. But I've been involved
since that first lacrosse bowl was built when I was 14 years old, I guess.
Amazing.
Well, we've got you on there, and that'll go on the Bible, and then the world can listen to you.
I left a note with my wife before I left that I was coming to the museum, and I said, they're looking for relics, so I hope they don't keep me, so I better get home. She'll think I'm up here.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that. I'll let you know when that's on the Bible, too.
Okay.
Okay. See you after.